Today's episode of Distorted View features additional content for Sideshow members only.
Ding!
It's Sextastic Tuesday on Distorted View.
Are you ready for this? Oh, man, are we getting ready to blow your mind? Who's your daddy? That's it right there. Faster! I mean explode! Excuse me. You better get on that! Golly! Holy cow. We're giving it to you! You got one more minute.
Oh, oh, you know it, buddy.
Faster, faster.
Oh, yeah.
Holy cow. I'm going to give you about 1 minute. I can't do this all night. We're losing money. But we're making a lot of friends. Faster.
Oh, man.
Oh. It's the mother load, baby.
It's Tuesday, September 28th, 2010. Coming up on the program today, giving your car facial hair, plus employee rape benefits, and a wood chipper takes another head. All of this, plus a classic edition of Sextastic Tuesday on an extended episode of Distorted View Daily.
It's the Distorted View Show with Tim Henson.
Yes, Timothy James Henson back here with you for the Tuesday edition of Distorted View. Got a great program for you. Like I mentioned, a classic Sextastic Tuesday. This one I get requested quite a bit because it's one of the strangest stories, and not because it's particularly gross or offensive. It's just so weird. Do you guys remember many years ago I read a story about John Adams, one of our founding fathers, and apparently also a time traveler and a supervillain? He's so evil, in fact, that the only person who could possibly stop him is a member of the X-Men. And that's pretty much the theme of today's Sextastic Tuesday story. Let's get into it right now. Ladies and gentlemen, hold on to your titties.
It's Sextastic Mayonnaise.
All right, let's start the story. I hope you're all lubed up, because things are about to get hot. John Adams, founding father of the United States. And I have to guess there are no other sex stories in the universe that start like that. Yes, John Adams, founding father of the United States and time-traveling politician and supervillain. Oh, this story's gonna be good. Languished in lonely agony in the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol building, raising one hand that was enveloped in delicate frilly lace cuffs up to his forehead, a forehead that bore the fine lines of a many lifetimes of public service and evil plotting, he sighed. The pain in my soul is unknown to all of mankind. My fate is truly, as a greater man than I once said, crap. Wow, that's a pretty good John Adams impression, right? That's not true, a voice said, ringing out in the dim light of the after-hours Capitol corridors. Adams started spinning around to find a shadowy figure emerging from within the main legislative chamber. The shock of realizing that he was not, in fact, alone, nearly felled the second president of the United States where he stood. Who are you? He gasped. He gasped. I really feel like I'm doing a drama here. He had never been interrupted wallowing in a bottomless pit of self-pity before. The figure rolled out into the ambient light. The dim glow revealed a dignified bald man in an expensive designer suit, perched regally in a polished silver wheelchair, like a crippled monarch of old. Who the fuck wrote this story? It's like no other sex story I've ever read before. This sounds like it's been written by a 70-year-old college professor. I am Charles Xavier, and I understand your pain. Yes, my friends, you are witnessing a porno story featuring John Adams, President of the United States, and X-Men leader Charles Xavier. Stupid. Adams' eyes widened in shock. That's not true, he cried. That's impossible. Who was this man who held such mysterious power over him, whose eyes seemed to bore into his very soul? You have nothing to fear from me, Xavier said, as though he were reading the very thoughts of the temporal voyager in front of him. I may act as an ambassador of good, but that is certainly not to say that I don't fully empathize with those who live outside the law. I understand that not all of us can be totally upstanding citizens such as myself. In fact, Xavier was massaging the control stick on the handle of his chair, back and forth, slowly, like a joystick of Nintendo, causing the chair itself to move forward and back repeatedly. Xavier's knees were bumping gently into Adam's own, threatening to throw his balance if he so much as stepped away from the wall. In fact, he said, I've always found a certain lawlessness quite appealing. In the dimness of the room, Adams couldn't be quite positive, but he thought that he could make out Xavier's tongue darting out of his mouth and wetting his lips. Sexy. He felt his toes begin to curl as a golden shot of electricity shot through his body, and he realized how hungry he had become for physical contact during his long years spent traveling time. Suddenly, Adams felt something take hold in his mind, a force so powerful he had not felt its like since he had the inspiration to pass the Alien and Sedition Acts. "What are you doing to my brain, man?" he asked, his voice husky and choked. A small smile flitted across Xavier's lips. "Don't be such a prude," he said, his voice containing an underlying layer of mischievousness. Adams could feel himself being compelled forward, seemingly of his own volition, seemingly through a force entirely other. Jesus Christ, this is like sci-fi porn for people with IQs of like 200. "This is rape!" Adams cried. "You're raping my mind, man!" Okay, now it's getting good. "No, Mr. President," Xavier told him in a throaty voice. "I could tell if I was raping you, and right now I can tell that you want this. You want me badly." At that, Adams was vaguely aware of his knees buckling under him, his body betraying his mind. He managed to throw himself forward, and Xavier caught him in surprisingly strong, gentle arms. He buried his face in Xavier's neck, breathing in the musky scent of some sort of expensive French cologne, and shuddered in ecstasy. Alright, let's take bets. Who do you think is going to be the bottom? You've got John Adams, former president of the United States, founding father. He could very well be the bottom, because right now, he's seeming a little needy. And, you know, he wears those powdered wigs and shit. That has gay written all over it. But then, on the other hand, we have Charles Xavier, wearing French cologne, always talking so proper. And, quite frankly, he might not even be able to get his dick up. I mean, he is paralyzed, you know, from, like, the waist down, right? Let's see what happens. "I've been waiting for this moment for so long," he moaned. Yeah, he's the bottom. He spent so many decades surrounded by people, by groveling minions and syphilitic mistresses. He hadn't even realized until this moment how much he wanted, nay, how much he needed this. The touch of someone who wanted him for more than his power. The touch of someone who understood his torment. The touch of a cripple with a raging boner. As he awoke from his pensive reflections, Adams realized that he was straddling Xavier's lap, and Xavier was unzipping his own pants to reveal his throbbing telepathic member. This is ridiculous. Yes, Adams gasped as he stared down at Xavier's 10 inches of pulsing man-meat, and suddenly he had absolutely no confidence in his intestines' ability to handle such magnitudes of stiff, velvety, soft flesh. Ew. "Don't worry," Xavier said. "I'm going to send you to the moon, but I'm sure that you'll survive this rocket ride." Wow. Professor X is a smooth talker. And with that, Xavier roughly grabbed hold of the waist of Adam's pants with both hands and yanked them in both directions. Adams could feel his trousers splitting down the middle. And as they did, his own painfully taut erection sprang to life, gleeful at finally being free of its former textile prison. Stupid. Adams felt himself emboldened and smirked at Xavier. "I never wear underwear. I bet you weren't expecting that." "Actually, I was," Xavier said, grabbing hold of the tender flesh of Adam's firm, round buttocks and jamming his enormous length into the former president's tight ring of muscle without lube, without prophylactic, without warning. Adams cried out in joyous pain, feeling like he was being ripped in half by a blade of pure, unadulterated pleasure. Xavier began thrusting in and out, faster and faster, like an elephant shoving his trunk into a barrel of peanuts. With each thrust, Adams could feel the chafing and burning of his anus growing along with the mounting pleasure that was seeping from his ass to his groin like the sweetest nectar of the gods. I'm not entirely sure what I just read. However, I don't want to go over it again. We'll just move right along. And then, all of a sudden, Adams stopped moving. He tried to rock forward again, but he was shocked to find that Xavier's erection had apparently become lodged in his rectum. "Don't be surprised," Xavier told him. "This happens all the time. This is the price we pay for having large reproductive organs capable of bestowing unheard-of pleasure upon all of those who have the rare pleasure of encountering it." "Who's we?" Adams asked huskily. "Mutants?" "No," Xavier replied. "Sexy motherfuckers." With that, he snaked his hand down between their entwined bodies and cupped Adam's weeping length in his palm. Adam's heated joystick became the pestle to his hand's mortar. He squeezed, and all at once Adams exploded with exuberant release. In turn, his butt clenched, and the sudden added pleasure caused Xavier to fire his clip of burning white mayonnaise into Adam's ass. Finally relieved of its load, Xavier's dick dislodged from where it had been stuck, and he was able to push the panting, spent Adams out of his lap and harshly onto the floor of the Capitol Rotunda, like so much moldy chicken salad being relegated to the garbage heap. "Thanks," Xavier said flatly. "You weren't half bad." He zipped up his pants casually and rolled towards the front of the door. As Adams lay there on the floor, the two halves of his ravaged pants bunching halfway down his legs, his battered rectum seeping pungent Santorum all over the floor, he felt more abused than he had ever in the eras he had visited. But on the other hand, he also felt more fulfilled, more complete, than he could recall feeling than ever before. And he lay panting on his back, utterly spent in pain, and thought about Xavier and how the front door of this building was violently non-handicap accessible. The end. That was like weird, creepy intellectual porn featuring ex-presidents and superheroes. I don't know how I feel about that.
There you go. Ex-president / X-Men porn. So stupid. This week's Sextastic Tuesday, of course, was brought to you by our good friends at AdamandEve.com. For a very limited time, you can get 50% off just about any item, and you're going to get free shipping. They'll also throw in 3 free adult DVDs and a mystery gift. Here's how you redeem your goodies. Just go to adamandeve.com, find something you like. I like to, you know, pick out one product every week when I'm, you know, doing these little spots. I found the Nympho G-Spot kit. If you're a nympho, if you like to get fucked, this kit is for you because not only does it come with a curved vibrator, it also comes with clit cream. When I added this bitch to my cart after the shipping charges and everything, it was like $23, right? When I typed in coupon code FREAK in the little box that says have a source / offer code, you type in FREAK, click apply, boom. Now we're down to $7.98 for a vibrator and clit cream. Come on, you cannot beat that price. There's stuff for guys, girls. If you're a tranny listening to the program, I'm sure you can find something. Just use coupon code FREAK, FREAK, for 50% off of one item. Plus, you get free standard shipping, 3 free adult DVDs, and a special gift. Again, adamandeve.com. Use coupon code FREAK. And with that, let's get into the crazy, bizarre, twisted, fucked up news right now. Recession? What recession? While you're blowing money on sex toys, why not also sign up for the Distorted View Science Show? It's one fucking plug after another on this program. Why do you listen? Yes, $5 a month or $50 a year, you get full access to the entire archive of programs. But that's like, you know, like 1,300, 1,400 shows. Every time I talk about it, the number of shows goes up by like 100 or 2. We've done 27,000 programs, and you can listen to them all just by signing up for the Sideshow, and you can download the archives. Plus, every week we do extended shows, exclusive shows, and video casts. I'm sure you know that by now. Sign up, superfreaksideshow.com. It takes just a second. You'll automatically get your username and password, and you can start enjoying the benefits. And I can start enjoying your money! All right, 3 quick stories, and then we'll get the hell out of here for some. I am going to read you the headline to this news story, and then I'm going to ask you a question, all right? Here's the headline. Online job search leads woman to accused rapist. Which state do you think that came from?
Florida, our most fucked up state.
I hope you said that with me. I didn't tell you to this time, but you should know. Come on. All right, an 18-year-old Central Florida woman says she was raped for more than an hour. I wonder if, like, rape victims compare their rapings to other rape victims. You know what I mean? Like, when they have their meetings, I'm sure the girls who, you know, got raped for 10 minutes are kind of looked down upon. Well, that's barely a raping. I was raped for 3 hours with a broomstick. With the bristle on the end, not the handle. Raped for 10 minutes. That's just like an extended handshake. Get out of my face. You disgust me. Call yourself a rape victim. All right, an 18-year-old Central Florida woman says she was raped for more than an hour after responding to an advertisement online for a job. I don't know if the rapist can really be blamed here. The ad clearly says you'd be working under harsh conditions, like under 200 pounds of flesh and a penis. And look, must be able to handle heavy loads. It's all right here. Someone did not read clearly. Investigators say Bernard Mosco, who runs a bar called Bravo Bravo, nice name, posted an ad on Craigslist looking for a shot girl to work at his bar, but the 18-year-old said Mosco wanted to see her drunk to see if she could handle her alcohol. Okay. This kind of makes sense. It's tough. I need a job, and I just figured I'd get a ride over there, and I just have to show him that I don't get angry when I drink, and I get the job, the victim said. Well, the victim doesn't have a car, so Mosco picked her up and took her to the Ramada Inn and got her drunk. Then, she says, he raped her. Deputies say the suspect took her back to her home. Once there, she called for help. Mosco was arrested the next day at his Orlando home. Investigators say potential employees shouldn't ask someone to meet them in private. I can't believe we have to go over this information. Investigators say potential employees shouldn't ask someone to meet them in private, but they fear another young woman could be lured in by the promise of a job. Quote, investigators are actively looking at the case, and they are encouraging anybody who may have had contact with this particular suspect to certainly come forward, said Twiz. Really? Twiz is your first name? Twiz? Laza Sween with the county sheriff's office. Mosco faces 2 counts of sexual battery. So there you go, Twiz. Second story we have for you today. I have to give credit where credit is due. I found this next story on FARC, and the submitter really did find something interesting here. Let me read you the headline. I'm not going to go through this whole story. This isn't one of the 3 news stories we're going to talk about today, but I just thought this was interesting. The headline is Fundraiser Held for Marshall Baby. It's Marshall, Texas. A little East Texas girl is pulled from the water before drowning, but now her family faces massive medical bills on her road to recovery. Now the community has responded in a big way. From dunking booths to face painting, every dollar made in the shadow of the old Marshall courthouse went to help the family of 14-month-old Maddie Skinner. Now, if you're trying to help a drowning victim, is a dunking booth really a good idea? Brilliant. Thought that was pretty great. All right, second story we have for you today. A gardener has been decapitated in a freak wood chipper accident. A gardener was killed after being decapitated when a rope around his neck was dragged into a wood chipper. Why is there a rope around your neck when you're operating a wood chipper? Christ. Miguel Vargas fought to avoid being pulled into the chipper. Well, sure, you're not going to want to go into the chipper. He's going to try to pull away. Yeah, he fought to avoid being pulled into the chipper after the rope was fed into the churning mechanism. Churns. As the noose tightened around his neck, it decapitated his head from his body. So he actually wasn't killed. He wasn't chipped up by the wood chipper. He was decapitated by the rope. Other workers made the discovery when they shut down the machine. That's when they realized he was dead. Not the head on the ground. The gruesome accident happened in Tampa, Florida. Holy shit, it's from our most fucked up state. Say it with me again.
Florida, our most fucked up state.
Or for the first time, if you forgot to. Vargas was part of a 5-man crew trimming trees on a suburban street. He was feeding branches into the chipper when a rope that had been used by one of the tree trimmers somehow slipped over his neck. Whew, bullseye. All right, unable to reach the emergency shutoff button, Vargas desperately tried to avoid being dragged headfirst in the machine, where he would have been chopped to bits. According to his boss, Dwayne Wilson, the force of the rope looped around his neck was so great that he was, well, decapitated. Mr. Wilson said, "I heard a piece of metal, and I ran back to shut the machine down, and when I did, I looked and saw him on the ground. Force of the wood chipper pulling the rope, Miguel struggled against the rope, trying to escape the chipper, but was decapitated within seconds. He said he hit the emergency stop button after hearing a metal clip on the rope grinding against the chipper blades, but by that time, Vargas was long gone. Well, his head was long gone from his body. Police said Vargas had worked as a tree trimmer for 7 years and had 4 years' experience operating the wood chipper. They ruled his death an accident. So there you go. Final story we have for you today. This one is extremely short and extremely stupid. Do cars even have faces? Either way, it doesn't matter. You can now give your car facial hair. It's called the car stash. And yes, it actually exists. You apply the car stash to the hood of your car, and it basically puts a mustache on your vehicle. It comes in colors like Fire Stash Orange, Legendary Blonde, and Wisdom Gray. And aside from boosting your sedan's self-esteem, it's a great icebreaker. Like, if I saw someone who had a car stash, I would walk up to them, and I would start a conversation. I'd say, "Why did you do that to your vehicle? It looks stupid. What is wrong with you?" Alright, when you drive into a tailgate with a car stash, you get free beer, hot dogs, and high fives, said Car Stash's website. Oh, they've got a website. After attaching facial hair to your car, you'll wonder how the vehicles have gone barefaced since its invention. Now it's finally masculine enough to feel good about itself. Let's go to their website. The Car Stash is at carstash.com, carstache.com. If you do want to pick one of these things up, you can pay $39 on their website, or you can go to Urban Outfitters. I guess they sell them as well. Yes, the mustache also, or the car stash, I'm sorry, also comes in classic black and so hot pink. The description for Fire Stash Orange reads, "Your heat is intense. You are molten. You're liquid hot magma. You are the match that lit the torch that set the stash on fire. You are Fire Stash!" And apparently, fire stash... Well, all of them are apparently about 34 inches in length. So there you go. If you want a car stash, go to carstash.com. That, my friends, is your distorted news for Monday or Tuesday. I guess it would be today. Holy mother of shit. Tim Fail.
Dun, 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 dun. Wow. So,
indeed. Let's do a couple voicemails and get the hell out of here. All right, here we go. Speak to me, freaking-iggies.
Hey, Jim, don't have short hair. Hey, you know what would make your Sextastic Tuesday with the horses great? But if you had two halves of the coconut shell, you know, and you make the crap clomp sound, like Monty Python. Later.
Oh, the clomp. Yeah, yeah, I get it.
G'day, Timmy Boo. Mark from Australia here.
Yes.
I've just been watching a show on kids with select mutism, and they just don't
listening.
Speak to anyone, and I figured who better to rate than a child that'll never tell anyone at all.
Right.
Yep.
You know, raping a child is really about picking the proper victim. I really should write a book about that.
Show member Rich Slatter.
It's like, you know, the number one rule in real estate is location, location, location. The number one rule in molestation is pick a kid who, you know, can't verbalize what happened to him. All right, it's not as catchy as location, 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 but it's very important. All right.
Jim, sideshow member Chad from Iowa. I'm listening to the September 20th episode.
Yes.
And you're talking about the Vivitar camera for old people. So it makes it even funnier now because I work for a TV news station, and we just did a story last night on an old couple. We don't know yet, though. Somebody lost. We had a bunch of floods in Iowa, and somebody lost like a bucket full of photographs and old stuff. And I didn't give it at the time, but now I do listen to your podcast today. In that box, you'll never guess what was in there.
What?
A Vivitar camera. And it makes the story even funnier now, because now I'm curious to see who this box belongs to. They're trying to find the owner right now.
Yes,
of,
it's got to be
the
elderly.
Pictures and the Vivitar camera. So yeah. I thought you'd get a kick out of that. And
oh, it's
now
so...
it's even funnier listening to your September 20th episode about the Vivitar camera. I had no idea about that. All right, have a good show.
All right, thank you very much.
Tonight's show member Rich Slater calling from the confines of my car on the way to work. So that will answer Zach in Florida's question. Tim, I just listened to the Tuesday show, the Sextastic Tuesday, about Horse Planet.
Yes.
I love these stories because they are invariably written by people who have looked at horses, know what a horse looks like and what a horse does, but have never really actually been around horses. Now, as
right.
a horse owner, I am intimately familiar, not in that way, with horse.
Horses will not let you rim them.
And let me tell you, I've never been able to describe them as spicy. I would describe them perhaps as burning rubber. And as a side note for if you want to see the Columbus Ghostbusters again, I would recommend in October the Skinneratorium Haunted House, which is on 161 and I think Cleveland, I'm not sure.
Yes.
But Skinner-A-Torium is what you'd want to check out.
Did I get a flyer for that? Or maybe I saw an advertisement, a postcard or something. Yeah, remind me again when it comes closer to the time, because I'll forget, but I would like to see you again.
Sound hello,
a little gay.
Oh, God, I can't believe that they're stooping down to this level. Well, this is Alexander Kornswald, and I was calling because I haven't been getting that many hits recently, and... Well, I just put two and two together, and I realized that you haven't been mentioning me on your show, and I really think that that's been hurting my
yes
my view. So
especially
I was,
your click throughs on your Google ads.
Wondering if you'd be willing to mention me again.
Ah, you're old news, man.
Hey, Timmy Boo, what it do? Hey, I was catching up on podcasts, and I heard 8 Second Jay call in and admit that he was a Warcraft nerd, and he has a character that named Jagu.
Yes.
And I have to confess, I also play Warcraft, and I have a level 80 character on Lightbringer server named Jagu.
Wow.
And I also have a level 14 character that I don't really play, but name is Harpo Jarvi. So I'll call you back.
You know, the thing with World of Warcraft is it's a game that's... was really released, what, 4 or 5 years ago? 6 years ago? Something like that? I mean, it's kind of an old game at this point, but it's very popular. I just wonder, are they going to make, like, a World of Warcraft 2? Or are they just scared that everyone will flee? Because if you remember, like, many, many years ago, back when I was in college, EverQuest was just huge. And then EverQuest 2 came out, and it sucked, and it ruined it for, you know, like, everyone went away. So I wonder if that's what they're concerned about, but I think it's about time for a major update for that game, right? Speaking of those type of games, do you guys like StarCraft 2? I never played StarCraft, but I have a friend who loves it and was playing it at the store because they had like a display or whatever, and it looks really cool. So I might have to... See, I'm afraid to get into any of these games because it's one more reason to not be recording my show. Get distracted with these stupid games.
Tim, Sideshow member... what was my name again? Yeah.
0011.
Yeah, just listening to Tuesday's
That's
show,
good.
And the woman, the grandmother, who attacked the baby, bashed its head and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say 39-year-old grandmother? Because that's some fucking... You know
yes.
something's wrong with that family.
Exactly.
When
I did say that.
You're 39 and you're a grandmother.
Yeah, I did. I remember reading that and I was going to mention it and I forgot because something else... Something shiny distracted me. I love that. That's my favorite fucking scene from Scary Movie.
Hey, my money, like, throw everybody else up in here.
Hey, girl! I'm watching Shakespeare in Love. Ah, black people watching cinema.
Hey, Timmy Boo. It's Neil from Toronto. Got
yeah,
you a
Toronto.
Belated birthday gift in the form of a very, very special remix inspired by certain...
Yes, the Tourette's Man. We played that recently on the show. See, I'm very behind on my voicemails again. But thank you very much, Neil.
Hey, Tim. Can't remember the lady's name, but I believe she's running for the Senate in Delaware.
Christine O'Donnell.
She said that masturbation is adultery.
It means that I have been unfaithful to my...
Yeah, her reasoning is all messed up. She says that, you know, if a guy masturbates, he obviously knows what he likes and he can get himself off, so what's the purpose of the woman? Well, a guy will always take pussy over hand. And if you're that worried about your purpose in life, just look eastward to the kitchen. That's really your purpose in life. All right, that is all the time we have on this edition of the show. Want you guys to email me, show@distortedview.com. Distortedview.com is our official website. Voicemail line for you, 206-666-4463. That's 206-666-OGOD-IT-IT-IT-IT.
Crystal meth loosens up your butthole.
Spread the distortion. Tell all your friends about the podcast. Don't forget to leave us a nice review, a 5-star rating on iTunes. If you're not a Sideshow member, sign up right now because the extended portion starts in just a few seconds. Otherwise, we'll see you back tomorrow for the Big Wednesday Grum. Until then, have a great day. Bye, everybody. Move out of the house, so you move next door. I locked you out. You cut a hole in the wall. I found you sleeping next to me.
Get me angry here!